the challenge of life, but motherhood is challenging. If you don't believe that, offer to help a mom sometime. Say, hey, I'll come over for a few hours. Let me help you with your kids. Or in our case, invite the grandchildren to come and stay with you for a weekend. We did that last weekend. We had four of them under six. So 6, 5, 3, 2. And then Katie and Bracken came. They were in the service last week. And they brought Paisley, who's now 6 months old. So there are five grandchildren in the home. And Bernice and myself and Katie and Bracken. Let me just say that I hope we will not be doing that again anytime soon. It was fun. I mean, seriously fun. But it was crazy. And it's a lot of work. And so every time, you know, we do something like that, we're reminded how challenging it is to be a parent and how challenging it is for moms. So moms, we understand. We thank God for you. And if you, like I said, if you haven't had that experience of how challenging it can be, just offer to take care of the family for a while or find somebody here where you can go over and babysit for a few hours and just see how things go. Or you can go back there with Barrett, who's bouncing the baby right now, and you can say, hey, let me take over and let's see how things go. I grew up in a home where there were four children. I was the oldest, then my two brothers, and then Pam, our sister. We didn't make it easy on our mom. We challenged the life out of her. Actually, my brothers did that more than me. I was, you know, better than them. They're not here to defend themselves, so, you know, why not say that? But, you know, we don't make it easy on moms, do we? I mean, do you want to, any of you want to give a testimony right now, whether you're a mom or the one not making it easy on your mom? You know, yeah, we tend to make life difficult. But all the while, moms are trying to teach us to do the right things. My mom wasn't a teacher in the public school system, but she was a teacher around the home. She was a teacher at church. She taught middle school students. You were in her class, weren't you, Bernice? I hadn't asked you, you know, trying to reuse my memory on this one. But yeah, Bernice was actually in the class that Mom taught over at the church in Fresno, California. And so you could see, I mean, there's the product right there, my mom's teaching. No, but she did have an incredible impact on a lot of people when she got there, because she always came late to class. That was her typical motif. We went late to everything, but nonetheless, she taught even through that. She went on and taught Bible Study Fellowship. Some of you have heard of Bible Study Fellowship. What a great program that changed her life. I could still remember her around the house working on all of those assignments and the studies that they did, the inductive studies. It impacted her. She was privileged to impact other people. It impacted my life. When I got into college, they started a Bible study fellowship test with college students. And so we got to go through that. And man, that was incredible. Well, anyway, all of that's to just say moms teach. They teach in a variety of ways. I, a couple of weeks ago, thought, you know what I'm going to do is I'm just going to write down some of the ways that my mom taught me, some of the ways that she impacted me through her teaching. So I came up with my top 10 list of the ways that my mom has, I would say, impacted my life. And this is a picture of Mom, one of the pictures that we, you know, hang on the refrigerator kind of thing and still remember her life. But 10 ways Mom taught me. I want you to think about how your mom has taught you and things that you've learned. I would say at the top of my list, she taught me that I should clean up after myself. I don't know if that's been a big thing, and things that you're learning now or things that you've learned in the past. Mom was really big on that. Secondly, she taught me about loving God. She taught me by her example, her love in God, and also her words. She just absolutely loved God. She taught me to enjoy life. Mom laughed a lot. And some of you have been around me know that when I get on my real laugh, it's kind of annoying. Well, Mom's was even more so. But, you know, she loved to laugh and loved to have fun. And I still remember that, and it impacted us in a positive way. It taught me to actually show up on time by not showing up on time. Sometimes, you know, they teach us in the opposite way, where you say, you know, I don't think I ever want to become like that. And so anyway, I want to be on time and have tried to be. She taught us to make time for the family, because she just was always, you know, finding things for us to do as a family together and stuff, even if it was just going to McDonald's or whatever. But it was just, she really believed in family. She taught us to get along with each other. Especially she told me to get along with my brothers. So that was a big thing, you know, and growing up. She taught us to pray constantly. And that was interesting, because it wasn't so much by the words, but it was more just by the fact that she did. She was constantly praying. She taught us to take vacations. Now that was fun. When we got out of school, on the last day of school, you know, in May, June, whenever it was, she would be waiting outside in the car with the car packed, ready for a vacation. Seriously. Every year it was the same. So we come out, we get in the car, we take off for Yellowstone or Yosemite or something like that. And oftentimes my dad couldn't go, but she wasn't about to miss a vacation opportunity, you know. So we would go and maybe he'd catch up later or something like that. And even if it meant going into debt, we would go into debt just to have a vacation. It was, you know, part of our teaching. I'm not suggesting that you go down that road, but I'm just saying, you know, that was part of my upbringing. She taught us to persevere. She didn't always have it easy, especially even in her marriage. There weren't great times all the time. And we watched her persevere in so many different ways to stay with it. You know, you make a commitment to stay with the commitment. When life's tough, push on. And she also taught us to do our best, to not just sort of get by, but try to do the best that you could with whatever it was that you've been given. So just a different list that probably is different than your list. I had some people come up to me after the or during the break, and they were telling me about different ways that their mom taught them if they were to sit down. And I would encourage you to actually do this. You want to have some fun? Sit down and make a list of the ways that your mom has taught you or is teaching you right now. In fact, if you can, I would suggest that you ask mom to make the list and see if your lists come close. You guys could do that over lunch today or something, you know, and compare a list and maybe not. But if I was to add 11th one, I would say the 11th thing was mom taught me to wash our car every Friday, because we washed her car every Friday. I'm serious, without missing it. It was just one of those things that we did as a family, go to that self-wash, you know, that whole thing, and purchase a little towel there and stuff like that. But anyway, it was all a part of the upbringing. Now, is that a good thing? Well, I want you to look with me at the book of Proverbs, just a couple places this morning. I thought this would be an encouragement to moms, but it also would be an encouragement to all of us, because on Mother's Day, we have an opportunity to honor mom. We have an opportunity to honor mom everywhere. Moms everywhere, even if we're not a mom, it doesn't matter. We can at least say thanks, and we can show gratitude, and we can benefit by that which moms have taught us. And so all of this could be a part of the application, if you want to say, this morning. This could lead to some wonderful times of just sitting down with a mom and saying, thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing in our family. I mean, maybe you just know a mom, and even as you're leaving this morning, you're able to just encourage them in some way, and that would be great. But Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. There it is. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. So this is an important biblical principle that we gain from what it is that our mothers are teaching us. And of course, our mothers teach us in a couple of ways. One is they teach us by what they say. The second way is they teach us by what they do. So I want to just talk about those two things, just briefly this morning. What it is that they say and what they do, because both sides of this are very important in the aspect of a mother's teaching her children, the impact that she makes on other people. If you look over now at Proverbs chapter 31, I want you to see an example of a mom's teaching, what it was that she focused on. I think this is a passage that often we don't look at. We look at the rest of the chapter, and the rest of the chapter points out this amazing woman. And so often you go to a women's retreat or whatever it is, you hear a lecture on this whole matter, the rest of the chapter. I want to begin at the beginning of the chapter where it says, the words of King Lemuel, the strong advice and some translations say the oracle. So the oracles, the strong advice or oracle, his mother gave him. King Lemuel, who's that? Well, we don't know. It's the only reference that we have to this guy. According to Jewish legend, this king was, they say, Solomon. So we know that Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and maybe this was Solomon who was this king, and he's just deciding at this point to go by another name that people use for him, King Lemuel. We're not really sure, but we do know this, that if this was Solomon, then who was his mom? It's Bathsheba. So Bathsheba, if in fact this was Solomon, these are some of the things that Bathsheba taught him. And if it wasn't Bathsheba, it was another mom. But the interesting thing is to see the oracles or the strong advice that this mother gave. And I think in some ways we might actually say, you know, some of this kind of advice my mom passed along to me. What kind of advice? Look at verse 2. Oh, son of mine, what can you be thinking of? Now, that's another way of saying, what were you thinking, you know, in language of today? But, oh, son of mine, what can you be thinking of? Child whom I bore, the son I dedicated to God. So this mom's kind of not happy, evidently, with what her son is doing at this point. Verse 3, don't dissipate your virility, your sexuality, your masculinity. Don't dissipate your virility on fortune-hunting women, promiscuous women who shipwreck leaders. Verse 4, leaders can't afford to make fools of themselves, gulping wine and swilling beer, lest hungover, they don't know right from wrong, and the people who depend on them are hurt. Use wine and beer only as sedatives to kill the pain and dull the ache of the terminally ill, for whom life is a living death. Speak, verse 8, up for the people who have no voice, for the rights of all the down and outers. Speak out for justice. Stand up for the poor and destitute. Sounds like we're losing something in the kitchen, but whatever. Now, interesting, if you look at the subjects that this mom focused on, as this king, who wasn't king as he was growing up, Lemuel, heard from his mom, three subjects, and it's interesting to just compare to maybe the things that we're learning from our moms. The first one had to do with sex. Get a grip on your sex life, he's saying. You got to be careful because there are women out there that would love your money, and so you can kind of see this payoff type of thing that's going on here, or maybe somebody that got into a relationship and maybe it was just for the money. But the advice of the mom here is you got to be careful with your sexuality, with your masculinity, because it could rob you of life, it could rob you of fortune, it could rob you of your career. Sex is something to be very careful about, this mother says. Second matter concerned drinking. Do you see that in there? Watch out. Watch out for gulping wine and swilling beer. I mean, you better be careful in this area because alcohol can wreck your life. So he says, and it's interesting, this mother gives the advice of full abstinence, right? No wine, no beer, only use alcohol medicinally. And he goes so far as to say, only use alcohol to kill the pain. When you're terminally ill, or somebody's terminally ill, or whatever that is. And then he talks about a third matter, standing up for the right. So, for what's right, be an advocate to the poor, be an advocate to the hurting, be an advocate for those people who can't advocate for themselves, who are ignored or treated unfairly, they're exploited. Yesterday, over at the Levi's Stadium, Bernice and I were over there with the rally that was there, the Freedom Summit anti-sexual trafficking rally, not in our city, was the theme of the rally. And why were all those people together? Well, because we're basically saying we want to stand up for what's right. We want to stand up for those who are hurt through sex trafficking. So what is this mother concerned about? Well, two don'ts. And she's concerned about one do. The don'ts are, don't give in to sexual temptation, because that could shipwreck your life. We would probably, instead of use the word shipwreck, because that was more a part of their culture than ours, we would say that would train wreck your life, or whatever it might be. So don't give in to sexual temptation. Secondly, he says, and don't let alcohol mess up your life. And the reason why you got to be careful around alcohol is because it could lead to, did you notice in the passage, to poor decision making. And if we make poor decisions, then ultimately that's going to hurt other people. So be careful around alcohol. And then the third matter, he says, is stand up for what's right. So be a voice to those who can't stand up for themselves. You come along, and this is very much a part of our culture today. We want to do what we can to stand up and do that which is right, especially those who are being hurt. Now, three subjects there. I'm interested if you think about the kinds of things your mom is teaching you now, or the kinds of things that your mom taught you, you know, what would come up to the top of the list if you were King Lemuel and you were to say, you know, these are the things that I remember most about what my mom taught me. She taught me to be careful about the matter of sex, about the matter of drinking, and she taught me to be a person who stands up for justice. Great lessons, right? And some of us would say, yeah, those are some of the same kinds of things that mom taught me. And we would look back and we would say, and I'm really grateful because it kept me out of a lot of trouble. I'm really thankful for that. Some of us would say, I wish that my mom would have taught me in some of those areas because it would have kept me out of a lot of trouble. Or maybe it would have steered me away and maybe I wouldn't have some of the things that I've had to go through. And that would have been wonderful. I don't know what your mom said to you, or maybe like for this king or this son growing up, she looked into your eyes and she said, don't, and do. My mom, you know, she got the don'ts and do's all in one statement. It was just be safe. Your mom ever say that to you? Whenever I left the house, just be safe. We said that all the time to our kids. They're growing up. Just be safe. We teach by what we say. There's a second way that we teach, and it's not really in focus here in Proverbs 31, but it is in focus in 2 Timothy chapter 1, where we're talking now about Timothy and his life and how he came to faith. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy and says, you know what? Your faith, it's real. It really is. It's sincere. But then he goes on to kind of give us an understanding of why is this guy a person of faith. He says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded it now lives in you. Now, this is a second way that we teach. Moms teach, first of all, by what they say. Secondly, moms teach by what they do. And the focus here is on how the grandmother lived. She was a person of faith. And then the focus is on how Timothy's mother, Eunice, lived. And she was a person of faith. And as a result of how they lived, now Paul is able to say, you know what? And I'm persuaded the same faith that they have, it's actually faith that you also have. It's a sincere faith. It's making a difference in your life, just like it made a difference in their lives. And some of us would say, yeah. My faith, in some measure, is connected to the faith of my grandmother, or the faith of my mother. She demonstrated that to me. I saw the difference in her life, and now it's making a difference in my life. My mother actually never taught me verbally. She never said, David, you should learn to pray, and this is how you pray. She actually never taught me to pray by teaching me orally how to pray. She taught me to pray by her example. I never heard her say, David, you need to pray, but I can remember many times where I walked in on her and she was down on her knees and she was praying, and it was that example that impacted my life and continues to impact my life with regard to prayer. So moms can teach in a variety of ways, but the two key ways that we see in the scripture are obvious. They teach through what they say, and they teach through what they do, through how they live. Now, let me just stop for just a minute and ask you to write down maybe one or two things that your mom has taught you and ask yourself, did mom teach me this, you know, verbally, or did mom teach me this by her example? Something that mom taught you. And even let's just go a little bit farther. If you feel comfortable doing this, turn to the person next to you and just share one thing that your mom taught you. One thing that your mom taught you and you're grateful for what mom taught. Okay, just take a moment. Now, this is kind of fun if mom's sitting next to you. Better make it good. Seems like you thought of a couple things. I really would encourage you just to sit down at some point and actually just write out a list. This could be a great exercise that could possibly fill your heart with gratitude. And anything that fills our heart with gratitude, thankfulness, that's a great thing, isn't it? But even to take it a step farther and be able to express that to your mother, that would be honoring. I can't express this to my mother anymore, so I wrote a blog last week that actually was about this matter. And, it was good for me to be able to just say, I give thanks for my mom because of how she taught me in these ways. And that could be a real positive thing for you, but also just the encouragement that could come just by thanking a mom or your mom for the work that they're doing. What a wonderful thing. Now, it's not enough just that a mom teaches. There's an appropriate response, right? And back to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, the appropriate response, he says, is do not forsake. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. So here's mom trying to pass along all of this good. And, you know, it's not always that way. But if your mom has been passing along some good, and some of us would look at, you know, the circumstance that we have with our mom or whatever, and we say, she's not that great of a person. But even in that, I'm sure there's something there that we can learn, that you can learn from even not great circumstances. There's something there that we can still be thankful for and learn from. And so this is saying, you know, your mom's teaching you. So don't ignore it. Make an appropriate application response. And he suggests in Proverbs 1:8, just at the beginning of the verse, even specifically toward a father's instruction, that an appropriate response, let me give you three L's here, would be to listen. That's true, right? So if somebody's trying to teach us something, it's not to ignore it. It's not to, you know, be doing 14 other things, be on the phone, whatever it is. It's to tune in and it's to hear what it is that mom is trying to say. So it's actually to just listen. It's just to listen. This is always interesting to speak about this subject when moms and dads are sitting together with kids in this building. So this is where, you know, is there going to be eye contact made or whatever's going to happen now? We'll be real careful right now. So we got listen. The second L here is learn, right? I mean, if we're going to appropriate, if we're not going to ignore it, to forsake it, then we've got to learn from what it is that they're saying to us. We need to take it to heart. We need to translate it into action. There's a book that I read some years ago. It's called Learning is Change. There it is. Learning isn't actual learning until there's change. Great definition of learning. So, you know, we're all going to have to change if we hope to learn anything. And when a mom teaches and we listen, then we want to learn what it is. We want to learn something from what it is that they're saying. And the last L here is just live. Live differently. Live out what it is that mom has taught. Live it out. Don't drop the ball on this thing. Let it change the way that you live. So I want to just leave you with two thoughts this morning, all right? The first thought, and this is specifically related to the mothers who are here, if you are a mom, do not underestimate the value of your teaching. That's the first thing I want to say. If you're a mom, do not underestimate the value of your teaching that comes through what you say, but also comes through your example. And the best way I know how to illustrate this is to illustrate this through my mother's teaching in my life, but specifically with regard to one particular point. Some of you have heard some of this story, so please bear with me just for a minute. I won't take long. But I finished high school in academic mediocrity, okay? And so in other words, I would not have really fit in the Silicon Valley school district culture with the high expectation to do your absolute best. I was academically challenged, all right? And I was academically challenged because of apathy. It wasn't because there wasn't ability in me, it was just apathy. And for me, what that meant was that I could not go to a four-year college. I GPA-wise could not qualify to go to a four-year college. So I went to a city college for 2 years. And that's not to say, you know, only people that are academically challenged go to a city college. It was the only place I could get in. That's all I'm trying to say to you. And quite frankly, it was the best thing for me. And actually, we couldn't afford for me to go to a four-year college anyway. So it would have been the only place I could go. So I went to this college. And I started college the same way I finished high school, with an apathetic feeling toward college. And Mom saw that. So about 3 weeks in, I came home from college one day, and she was waiting at the front door. She opened the door, and she said, "David Ray, I want to talk to you right now." Now, in my home, when Mom called me Dave, everything was cool. When she called me David, it meant it was a little bit more serious. But when she called me by my middle name, David Ray, that meant we're in trouble, okay? It was like the tip-off. You guys kind of probably have these little clues around your house too. And so she said, "David Ray, I want to talk to you right now. You go out there in the backyard right now. I want to talk to you right now." So we took a little walk to the backyard near the swimming pool back there. And she said, and I'll show you a picture here of Mom sitting by the swimming pool. This is in the day where it was okay to have puffy hair, all right? So if she was here, she'd probably say, "No more puffy hair," kind of thing, all right? But anyway, so she said, "You go over there, David, and you get on that diving board." Now, I didn't know at this point if this was like, you know, walk the plank if you're a kid or something. I didn't know what was going on. I had no idea what was going to take place. All I know is she said, "You get over there on the diving board." So I went over. She said, "Sit down." So I sat down. I'm fully clothed. And then she said, "Now you move out there to the edge of that diving board." She sat down next to me, so there's really no escape at this point. So it's just Mom and me and the edge of the diving board and the water, all right? So she says, "You get all the way to the end of that diving board." So I got all the way out. So I'm hanging over the water right now. The point of this is she must have thought, "I'm going to make sure that there is no escape here," okay? She sat down next to me and she said to the effect this, "David, I am not going to let you start college the way that you finished high school. You've got more in you than that. Things need to change. You can't continue to go down this road that you're on right now. You've got more potential than you're showing. Something needs to change." It was that kind of a conversation. Now, depending upon the receptivity of kids, right, at this point in time, it's either going to sink in or it's going to maybe get you thinking about something or whatever it might be. But for me, it sank in because I was at a good place at that point. I mean, academically, I still didn't get it. I mean, even when I went after I finished college at the city college, after I transferred and I got my GPA up high enough, after I transferred to Westmont, which is a wonderful college in Santa Barbara, California, I mean, you talk about academically challenged, that was it there. But even in getting there, I was still learning how to study. My first test, I got an F. The second test, I got a D. So I was still learning, you know, how to do this whole, you know, academic thing. But that aside, at that moment, I was ready to hear what it was that Mom wanted to say to me. My spiritual life was beginning to come together. I was beginning to think about a career. I knew that I was messing up. It was just a moment where somebody needed to say something to me, and she did. Now listen, my mother got married when she was 16 years old, okay? I don't think she would stand up here and say, "I think you ought to get married at 16. Okay, that was a huge challenge. And then to have children, because she had me within the first year of marriage. So to then have children right off the top and then to face that challenge also, oh my goodness. But at this point, here's what I want you to hear, is that when mom sat down next to me on that diving board, she was 33 years old. All right? She was a very young mom who was staring into the eyes of a son, her first son, who was blowing it in college. And she didn't back off. She told me in a very kind and loving way what I needed to hear. And all I want to say to you, if you're a mom, is do not underestimate the potential impact that your words and your life can have on your children. I went on, obviously, to finish junior college. I went on to finish and got a bachelor's degree from sociology. I went on to finish a four-year college. I went on, I got a master's degree. I went on and I got a doctorate. And today I've authored 5 books. Could not have done it without Bernice. In fact, I could not have done it without Bernice all along. But I go all the way back to the diving board, to the diving board conversation. I absolutely do. And some of you right now would probably go back in your life and you would make a connection in some way to your mom or some conversation that happened. And it may be that they were scared to death to have the conversation with you. I can't imagine what it was like for mom at 33 years of age to have that kind of serious conversation with the son, but I needed it. The other side of this is, don't underestimate the impact that a mother can have, that side. The other side of this is, don't in any ways minimize what it is that your mom's trying to teach you. As a kid, let's take what it is that's being taught us, and even if you've got to sort it out, fine, sort it out, but take the good, because it's for your good. They're trying to do the best that they can, right? I mean, as we raised our children, even to this day and the involvement that we have in the family, we're trying to do the best that we can. So don't just hear it and dismiss it. Learn from it and allow it to change your life. And I'm very fortunate because I grew up in a home where my mom was connected to God through Jesus Christ. And I know that not all of us who are sitting here this morning have had that advantage. Some of us have grown up in a home where there's been no spiritual, you know, understanding and no spiritual direction and no spiritual commitment and all of that. And so you kind of had to try to, you know, move in this direction in some ways alone. Thank God that He's put spiritual direction into your life, maybe through people or through this church or whatever it has been. But I would say to you that the most important thing that my mother taught me, which is the most important thing I think a person could ever hear, is that God wants a relationship with us, and He's made a relationship possible through Jesus Christ. And my mother received the gift of life by faith in Jesus Christ and encouraged us as kids to receive that gift, and we did receive that gift. And that's the number one thing that's changed our life. And if you've never received the gift, do. It's kind of like, you know, the possibility of having the greatest relationship you could ever have. The greatest relationship for now and forever. And it's a gift that comes through Jesus Christ. And if your mom hasn't taught you that, though, boy, hear that lesson here. And moms, make sure, I know this is your commitment, but make sure you pass that on to your children through what it is that you say and through what it is that you do. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for time just to honor moms today, think about their impact in our lives. We thank you for the incredible ways that they labor and they help and they try to do their best. And so many times we as children just make it so challenging, so difficult. We ask where that needs to change, that it would change, that you would help us see that mom, dad, they want the best. And we pray that you would guide them in that. And if they don't know you as their personal Savior, they would come to know you as their Savior. And you would begin to give them the wisdom that's far beyond theirs. And you would give them the strength that's beyond theirs. So that through their lives, they might be able to give the very best of what can be given to their family. And we pray, Lord, that where there is hurt right now in homes, there might be healing. And we ask that where things are frustrating, there would be change. We pray that where there's mediocrity, there would come new commitment and new zeal. Thank you, God, that you work through the teaching of a mom. And so we want to benefit fully by that, and we want to say thanks to moms and honor them for all that they do. And so we do that even this morning. And just before I close this prayer, if this morning you are ready to receive the gift of life that's found in Jesus, all you've got to do is tell God that, just from your heart. Lord, I want to receive the gift of life. I want to start a relationship with you. You've been trying to have a relationship with me my whole life, and I've refused. And I want it to be different. Please, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my stubbornness. Tell God whatever it is you need to tell him about that. And then by faith, receive Jesus as your Savior. Jesus is God's Son. He was sent into the world to give his life, to save us from sins. And he offers that gift of forgiveness as a gift. You don't have to earn or deserve it. You can't. You receive it by believing, by putting your trust in Jesus for salvation. And when you do, when you ask God to become your Savior and Lord, you're adopted into his family. And if that's what you want this morning, ask God to give that to you. He will gladly give you life in him. Thank you, Lord, for even the opportunity today to become a member of your family and to see you change our life. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to have our team come back and we'll finish our service with some more.